be seated. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your love. Oh, Lord Jesus, just pray you come and speak to us and be our teacher this morning, and pray, God, that you would just open the scriptures to us and that each heart would be open to receive. And so we just thank you for that, and I pray you would just fill me that I only speak things of the Spirit, and this would be an encouraging time in the name and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 We'll be looking at the book of Haggai. Haggai, okay? Haggai is the third to the last book in the Old Testament, in case you're looking. Third to the last book. We looked at last week. And here's the verse we'll be looking at, chapter 2. Last week we looked at chapter 1. Haggai, chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not. Kind of where we're going this morning is that, a little shocker, let's start up front, but everything that we are familiar with, everything that we know, will absolutely be shaken to the ground. Everything. Now, that'll give you, kind of like, okay, where are we going with this? But that's truth. When you look in Scripture, everything we're familiar with, everything that we know is going to be shaken to the ground. And and what we see here in the book of Haggai, and it gives us a picture of this, and the context is really helpful because you had the great temple that Solomon built, great temple, beautiful temple, just by the blueprint of God, and he built that. Well, that temple was destroyed, absolutely destroyed by what we would call the Babylonians, current day Iraq. All right, so 70 years they carried the people off into captivity, the land was leveled, the temple was leveled, and then the Persian Empire came up with Cyrus the Great. All right, current day Persia. Like I said, these people just hang around forever, okay? Current day Persia, they released all the Jews, and the Jews came back to Israel. And what they did, God said, rebuild the temple. Rebuild the temple. And so they started rebuilding the temple. And so that's what they're doing here. And Haggai is the prophet that he gave. So it's at the end of the Old Testament. So Haggai is the prophet encouraging the people to build this temple. And we looked at last week, that's what we looked at. He's encouraging people to build the temple. And we also looked at the fact that the temple was the place where God meets with his people. Amen? That's what it was. The temple was a place where God meets with his people. But the New Testament temple, the place where God meets with his people, is the church. Is the church. And so what you have in the Old Testament is a picture. God shows us a picture of what it looks like to meet with God. So he has all these things, and we're not going to go through with them, but through them all, but basically, even the sacrificial system, it's a mechanism where you walk and you would meet with God. Through all the priests and everything, you would meet with God. So you have this picture. Jesus came is the fulfillment of all those things. He would say, I am the sacrifice. I am the temple. And so he fulfilled everything. So we have that physical picture, and through Jesus and the church, we have the spiritual picture. Amen? Okay, so what we're going to look at this morning, we're going to look at that physical picture in the Old Testament, but we're going to make an application, a spiritual, true application of seeing the fulfillment in the church, because God says, I'm accomplishing my purposes in the church, in the church. So last week we looked at, he said, build my temple, build my church, build my church. And so we were looking at that and how God build the place where I meet with you. And we looked at it as the entity of the local church. The entity of the local church, not the universal church. When the Apostle Paul wrote a letter, he didn't write a letter to the universal church. He wrote it to an entity, to a specific church, or to a person who was supposed to talk to a specific church. So the local church is the entity in which God works through, and how important that is, and that we're to come together, and that's a God meets with his people. God meets with his people in the church. And we also made this statement, we looked at that it says it kept referring to the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the celestial armies. He springs from the church. He works through the church. Things rotate in God's mind around the church. So you think, hey, we'll just come to church. This is a lot of fun. We'll see what's happening. And we'll go have lunch afterwards. And God doesn't look at it that way. He says, no, you're coming together. This is my power center. This is my power point. Now, and so we talked about what we are to do to build the church. As we put into that, we're aware that that's our calling, that this is where God is going to work through the world. And what he does is centered around the church. Chapter 1, all right? Now we're going to chapter 2. And we're going to, he's going to carry on from that. And you can see the title of the message, you know, God, what? He's going to shake heaven and earth. Now, that's what chapter 2 is about. God is going to shake heaven and earth. So as we look at this, coming up to this morning, God says, Jesus says in Matthew 16, 18, he says, I will build my church. I will build my church. So he's the fulfillment. He's, I'm going to build my church. And then we see what he says. We see the physical picture here in Haggai chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. He gives us some encouragement here about to the people, and it's to carry over to the New Testament church. And it's basically this: be strong, fear not. The Holy Spirit is in your midst. Now, see, that's a statement in the Old Testament. But is it a statement for the New Testament? Go ahead, you can answer that one. Amen. He's in our midst. The Holy Spirit is in our midst. And so he said, I'm going to build the church. Fear not. You know, be strong. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in your midst. So he's telling the folks here to build his church and to be strong because he's with his people to do what? To build the church. That's the focus. That's the focus on the spiritual aspects and how it's going to impact this world. Now, so what are we going to look at here? We saw what we were supposed to do. What is God doing in building his church? What is God says, I'm going to build my church. What is he doing? God, what are you doing on this? We doing all the work? I mean, so here God in the Old Testament, he's building this temple. Says, you build this physical temple, all these blocks on it. Okay, God, we're going to build this temple, but what are you going to do? I mean, still you got all these people around us. They're hard to get along with. You've got these great nations. We're going to build. But what are you doing, God? What are you going to do? So here we are in the New Testament and the church. He says, build the church. And the church is all over the world. Local congregations all over the world. You know, the presence of Christ all over the world in his local church. Okay, God, we're doing what you say. What are you doing? Have any of you, you don't have to answer this. This is rhetorical. This is rhetorical. And just like that, have you ever asked God, what are you doing? You know what? I think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, what are you doing? Like that. Y'all wouldn't say that, would you? I have said it a bunch. What are you doing? You know, he said, you said you're going to build your church. He says, okay, I'm taking care of my end, Wallace. You take care of your end, all right? Okay? And finally we have a discussion, and somehow or another he communicates to me that I need to take care of my end and let him take care of his end. And so that's what he's doing. But he does show us in the scripture what he is doing, because God is moving in the spiritual realm, and he is moving through his church and through his people. He asks us to believe. He asks us to trust in our sins forgiven, and that we can stand before him forgiven. All right? But we trust in him and we follow him, and the church all over the world is taking a step at a time as he moves. He's kind of taking care of the world. He says, you kind of work on the local church and put your sphere of influence. Let me take care of the world. All right? But he is moving in the world. He's moving in the world with a view on the local church. The church is primary in his mind. So we want to look at this. What is God personally doing? When God acts, the church is central in what he does. Now, how can I say that? When God acts, the church is central in what he does. Because where does God meet with his people? The church. Now, the Bible talks about that we are, as individual believers, the temple of God. So where does God meet with us individually? But does he say, you just serve the Lord individually and you don't have anything to do with anybody else and you and Jesus just be happy? Besides, all the other people in church, they're cranky. You know, they got problems. You got enough problems out here and their problems. Is that in the Bible? No. What it says, one another. Be kind to one another. Work with one another. Give to one another. So the church is a corporate body. And there's two different verses where it talks about you are the temple of God. And it uses you, and if in the original language, in one place, you is singular. You are the temple of God. Ah, that's me and Jesus. And then it says you are the temple of God, and the you is plural. The plural. See, so the plural is the church. So God meets with the individual, but he meets with the corporate body. And God says, I'm going to build my church. He didn't mean I'm going to build my individuals. He meant I'm going to build my body. I'm going to build my body. So the local church is extremely important. And when God moves, he moves around the entity of the church. So when he moves in the world, he has his church in mind, his power centers in mind. He said, I'm going to build my church right here. That's just one person doing what he wants to. No, it's a group of people that come together. That's his church. And it's a group of people that has a pastor and has elders. That's what he pulls them together, and then he works through that body. Amen? See, it's God's moving through this, and as we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if he's doing that, and he's moving, and he's using everything he's doing, he is having the center point of what he's doing with his church. That's the key. Whatever he's doing in the world, he is doing it for the church and to use the church in what he's doing. That helps our thinking about what's going on around us. All right, got three things we want to look at. What is God doing? What is God doing? I'm sure this isn't the only thing God's doing. But, I mean, it's some of the things that God's doing we see in Haggai. All right, here's the first thing that he says he's doing. That this is what God's personally going to do that we can't do. And it says, God, number one here, God will shake heaven and earth. Okay, I got that. Really? I mean, really? God says, yes, for my church, I'm going to shake heaven and earth. Look what it says in Haggai 2:6. For thus says the Lord, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens, the earth, the sea, the dry land. You know what that tells me? Everything shook. I mean, that kind of covers it. I mean, he's like, no, when I come, you're not going, I wonder what happened. Was that really God? He said, no, he's going to shake everything. So we see that he's going to shake all things. But let's keep it in perspective. God's going to turn creation upside down for the sake of the church. Now, we can back up for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of the individual believers. But what did Jesus say he's going to build? I'm going to build my church. So what he's going to do is God is going to turn creation upside down for the sake of the church. Because you think, gosh, how will my neighbors believe? Nobody is coming to the Lord. And, you know, they're just going their own way. They're consumed with their own self-sufficiency, you know. Well, he's called us to share the gospel message. Christ loves us, we're forgiven. Christ loves us, we're forgiven. And then God will turn heaven and earth upside down, not us. See what I'm saying? God's going to move supernaturally. Now, there's an ultimate end where Jesus is going to descend, And all the world is going to be turned upside down at the end of times. But there's periodically times through life where God moves in the world and turns things upside down. He disrupts the status quo so the church will grow. He moves in the so the church will grow. And so what we see here, that when he makes this statement, yet once more in a little while, well, what's once more in a little while? It says to God, one day is like a thousand years is like a day. You know, a couple of days. I'm going to do this in a couple of days. 2,000 years. See? So, and what is it? It's going to be worldwide. There's an ultimate worldwide move in God that's going to happen. But in the meantime, there's steps in that worldwide move that we're going to see evidences of that when he's moving, that he is moving. And we're here in the church. We need to pay attention what God is doing. So anyway, God, it's his creation. He's going to turn it upside down. And even if you see this, God will do a national and resource realignment. He's going to do a national and resource realignment. Nations rise, nations fall, and he's going to bring them up. He's going to bring some down, and he does a realignment. And I'm going to venture to say, for the benefit of the church. For the benefit of the church. Look at Haggai chapter 2, verse 7 through 8. He says, and I will shake all nations. How many nations? I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord. You know, who has the financial resources? Who has the financial resources? Who is responsible for financial resources? Like, God is responsible for them. He says, so when my church, I'll give them what they need. How are you going to do that? You share the gospel, let me worry about that. But Lord, he goes, you will share the gospel. I'll take care of that. And that's a faith issue. That's a faith issue. See? Some people have a lot of faith. You know, until you get a hold of their money and you say they don't have any faith. All you got to do is get a hold of their money. Now you say they don't have any faith. See? And sometimes the Lord gets hold of our money because I won't see where faith is. I won't see where your faith is. I got faith that God will heal and raise the dead. He gets a hold of your money. Oh my God, don't touch my money. You can't help me. You can raise the dead, but you can't help me financially. See what I'm saying? So God will reach in, because that's where kind of the rubber hits the road for us. And he said, so the Lord is saying, I'm going to move. It's all mine. It's all mine. See? And I'm going to turn heaven and earth, and I'm going to realign the resources for what? The temple. It's going to flood into the temple. The glory is going to flood into the temple. But what's the purpose? So we can sit in the corner and count our money? No, he wants it to be a funnel to flow for the glory of God. That the gospel is spread. You know, that the Lord Jesus Christ is exalted. That the power of the Holy Spirit is flowing through the body. See, and so he says, that's what I want. So I'm going to do that. I am going to shake heaven and earth. Let me shake heaven and earth. And you do what you're supposed to in sharing the gospel. Sharing the power of Christ. Amen? You see what that's saying there? It really is powerful. So God will exercise his rightful ownership over his creation. And then he is going to give it to the church as it needs. Now, when God, what God does centers around for the purpose of the church. This is important to realize, because I think what we think of, the purpose of the church, and we'll look up, boom, boom, XYZ church, and then, you know, they get their money, and then, you know, and so they can build their facility, and so you kind of see this isolated thing, you know, for this social endeavor or whatever, you know. But God doesn't look at it like that. What he looks at it, no, this is a point from which I spring forward. Point from which he moves forward. And so what we need to do what each person needs to do is like, where is the power of Christ moving forward? What church, where do we see Christ preach and forgiveness, where forgiveness is preached and the power of the Holy Spirit is preached, and we see that, then we need to attach ourselves to that entity through the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we work through that entity to impact the world, wherever that local church is. Whatever local church that is, that's what we need to do. Just attach yourself. What is that? And that's up to us to look at what that particular church is doing. But I ain't having anything to do with the church. I'll just do my own thing. It's not biblical. It is not biblical. It's the body of Christ working together, and this is where God works. And so, and the church is the place where Christ reigns. Amen? Amen. And we're too. I love this in Haggai 2:9. It says this: the latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Now, technically, this building, temple that they built, Jesus walked in, and so he stood in this temple that they're building. So you could say, okay, the greater glory. This was the greater glory because Jesus showed up. Well, that's true. That's true. But that continued on. When Christ was resurrected, he sent that. He said, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church. See, so when Christ was resurrected, he built that temple that spread. He built that entity of local congregations around the world spiritually. So he wasn't the final glory, all right? In one sense, the church is the final glory. Glory that he works through the church. See what I'm saying? And so we have this picture, we have this physical picture of the how God is moving in his body, the church. So it's exciting to be a part of it. And then again, what's the point? What's the point? God says, I'll shake heaven and earth, because we look at things are falling apart. We should be in great fear, you know? What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about this? The church shouldn't think like that. The church should not have thoughts like that. The church should say, oh my goodness, God is shaking heaven and earth. God is moving heaven and earth. And I need to be where he needs me to be to share the gospel and share the power of Christ. I need to build into the church because he's shaking all of this for the sake of the church. People within this country and around the world, oh man, look at this is happening, turning away from God here, turning away from God here. Oh, it's terrible. Gosh, I don't know how people come to know the Lord. Lord, what are you going to do? And we see like everything's falling apart. That's what the Lord did. That's what he did. What's not falling apart? The church. What has a message? The church. See, don't be surprised the world's falling apart. It's supposed to. It's not supposed to work without Christ. It's not supposed to work without Christ. Don't be surprised when it doesn't work without Christ. You see what I'm saying? There's no place in the Bible that says the world works without Christ. No place. It says without Christ, it falls apart. But in the church, he says, I'll move all these pawns around here for the church. For the church. You see what I'm saying? And it was like, Pharaoh's up there when they bring the Israelites out of Egypt. Pharaoh's up there, and it says, God said, I love this verse. It's Moses goes and says, God says, release my people. You know what Pharaoh says? The first thing he says, who's God? That's what he said. He goes, who's God? It's okay, show you. I'll show you who he is. You know, and so those plagues, part of the plagues that what God was doing through there is showing Pharaoh who God was. He says, and after a while, Pharaoh goes, you know, just go. Good God, go. Lord. And then in the New Testament, Paul says this: God raised Pharaoh up for this very purpose. Why are these people in power? They're nuts. What are they doing? God raised them up for that very purpose. Don't curse the darkness. Strike a match. Amen? That wasn't original, if you know. Okay, so here we are. God's going to shake heaven and earth. We should be excited of the turmoil in this world. We should be excited about the turmoil in this world because it's an opportunity for Christ to move. Amen. And how's he going to move? Through us. He's shaking it up, you know, and we have the message. Jesus loves you. Jesus is in control. Power of the Holy Spirit working through you. So, how about point two? We'll go to point two. What else is God showing us here? We see what God's doing. Well, he's telling us when we look at this and we have that perspective, he's telling us to look at the whole journey. Look at the whole journey that we're on. I mean, in our life, don't sometimes your children just drive you crazy? You just love them to death. But they have, you know, they see like not beyond their nose. You know, they have no sense of consequence. They have no sense of like, you know, this is probably a bad idea. You know, they just have no sense of perspective whatsoever. But so God is kind of telling us the same thing. You need to have a perspective of what's going on. And what believers need to do is look at the whole journey. We need to look at the whole journey of our life. We see that God is going to shake heaven and earth. And if we see that God's going to shake heaven and earth, we think differently. Okay, God's going to shake. Now, ultimately, he's going to turn everything upside down. He's going to return. But in the meantime, there's going to be elements all around the world where he moves for the sake of the church, the sake of the church can grow. There's going to be elements of him moving all the time. He didn't quit moving within countries, and he didn't quit moving in the world because the church is all over. He's moving on behalf of the church where believers will come in his divine sovereign way. So we know that we're going to look at the whole journey. Okay, so if God's doing that, then we're going to have to think differently today as we look forward. And that's exactly what he told the people back then. This is what Haggai told the people. And listen to this. Same thing. Okay, I'm telling you about rebuilding this temple. I'm telling you about rebuilding the church. I'm telling you I'm going to turn things upside down. And he says this, Haggai 2:15, 18, and 19. It says this, now then, consider from this day onward. Okay, consider from this day onward, before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord. Consider from this day onward, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Consider. But from this day on, I will bless you. I will bless you. See, it's consider. Consider, consider. Look at, we're going, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. Then it will repeat itself. So we need to consider what God is doing and so that we can move forward. We'll move forward based on what God's showing us. But it rotates around the church. And understand, I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the universal local churches. He's moving, okay? He's moving around churches, all right? And he's moving about churches that believe on him, all right? Not just a what's happening now church, you know, it hangs out a sign that says church. He's putting up the church that believe in him, trust in him, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. So he's telling us, he says, once you're building that church, I'm shaking heaven and earth, consider. Now, look at the whole journey. Look at the whole journey. See, it's important to look at the whole journey when you do anything. For instance, you know, the people on the Titanic, you know, people on the Titanic, the first half of that journey was good. First half of the journey on Titanic was good. Man, you know, that was the what's happening now ship. I mean, it was, they couldn't believe what a great ship that was, you know. So half that journey was good. It's the second half of that journey, it was bad. It hit that iceberg and sunk. I mean, it's an unbelievable disaster. If they had known the whole journey, they wouldn't have bought a ticket. If they know where this, hey, I know, won't you, hey, we're going on the Titanic. Won't come with us? Not on. You just go ahead. Not coming. But you'll love it. Half the journey, you're going to love it. You know, no, it's not that important to me. What God's telling us about this life. We're going, oh, I just want to be happy half the journey. You know, I just want to just be, you know, eat, drink, and be merry. You know, half the journey, you know, because I know I'm going to hit an iceberg. But God says, is that what you want to do? I'm telling you, I'm going to shake heaven and earth. So you need to think about your whole journey. But the decision's ours. The decision's ours. No, listen, I'm buying the ticket on this Titanic, God. I'm going. All right. Go. He'll let you go. See? But God's trying to tell us, no, I'm going to shake heaven and earth. So you need to make decisions based on what God said. And it's up to us. So we have to look at the whole journey. And then he goes on and he says, consider this day forward. I am telling you. You see, Haggai 2:21-23. And he says it again. He says it again. We make our personal choices based on spiritual revelation. We make our personal choices based on spiritual revelation. He's telling us. Now look here, Haggai 2:21. I am about to shake heavens and earth. I just tell you, you know, you're buying the ticket, Titanic sitting there, looks, I mean, it's, they said it was a marvel, absolute marvel. You look, you buy a ticket, you know, this thing is something else. You're buying the ticket. At the time, at the gateway, onto the Titanic, says, this sucker's going to hit an iceberg and sink. God's going, it's going to hit an iceberg. Nah, that's all right, God, I'm going. God's telling us, I'm going to shake heaven and earth. And we got a choice. It's up to us. Bam. Half the journey's going to be a blast. I'm loving it. You know? All right. But he's telling us. He said, I'm about to shake heaven and earth and overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I'm about to destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations and overthrow the chariots and their riders, and the horses of their riders shall go down, every one to the sword of his brother. He's going to overthrow them all. Overthrow all of them. See? Just letting you know. I'm just letting you know. So, God's going to shake heaven and earth. One. Number two, we need to think. Consider the whole journey. He's telling us. I'm working through my church. I'm doing powerful things through the church. Now, here's the other thing. Three, and it's like, it's amazing, is that God will gloriously intervene for the church today. He's going to gloriously intervene for the church today. Also, with a homecoming promise that lasts for eternity. It's so funny. I love reading some of the old first century martyrs, and they talk about them. I mean, some of these people are like, they really had a view of heaven. A lot of them. It's fascinating. It's, hey, we're going to cut your head off. Okay. You know, it's like, yeah, I'm just going to be with Jesus. Fine. You know, I mean, it's almost like that. You know, it's amazing. They had such a sense of the presence of Christ that death wasn't a threat to them. It just was not a threat to them because, oh, we'll go be with the Lord. There was such a sense of eternity in their hearts that was stunning. And it's interesting when you read the old secular writers about the Christians. They just like, man, you can't. These people are just, you can't. It's amazing about these people. There's one Roman governor, and he wrote a letter, and he says, man, these Christians die well. I don't know if I'd want that written about me or not. I mean, it's like, well, okay. He's, man, they die well. You know, because it's like, no, okay, you kill me. You're not taking anything from me. You're just, you know, you're just shipping me into glory. I'm fine with it. So it's hard to deal with that. But what it is, God will gloriously intervene always. He didn't all intervene here and stop, intervene here and stop, intervene here and stop, intervene. No, he always intervenes. He always intervenes. He's always working. And in the corporate sense, for the church. It's for the church. That's why he's moving for the church. And because that's his mechanism in this world is the church, his mechanism. And so so we have that promise that being part of the church that no, and we start looking at the world situation, and again, it impacts how we look at things. We just look at things and say, you know, you can just get frustrated. Oh, I'm just so insignificant here. How does it make any difference? Or, man, I can't believe these people are doing this. I don't know what's going on. Oh, Lord, look at this. It's falling apart. It's just, what and how in the world are we going to survive? Everything's going to hell in a handbasket. God goes, no. I'm moving for the church. The church is going to reign supreme. I'm making avenues for the church. And I'm working, and I'm going to gloriously intervene. Let me take care of the world that you can't quite figure out. Did you notice you can't quite figure it out? Lord says, let me take care of that. I'll raise up kings, I'll tear down kings. Okay. He didn't raise, I'll raise up good kings, you know, tear down bad kings. No, he didn't say that. Raise up kings, the bad ones. I love the thing where he talks on authorities. Be under authority. You know, be under, well, I'm not be under authority if they're nice. You be under governmental authority. Well, I'll be under, if they're my person I like, I'll be. But it's like when he said be under authority, Nero was ruling. He said, be under Nero. Look him up. He wasn't nice. He was not a nice man. But he said, no, be under authority. Be under authority. I love Polycarp. You know Polycarp? You know who Polycarp is? I've mentioned him before. Love Polycarp. He's an old man, about 80, 90, real old. And so they took him up, and they says, all you got to do, and the Romans were real open. They were real open. If you just believe on their gods and your gods, you know, just kind of everybody be happy. You just believe on everything. They'd be okay. And that was the problem with the Jews. They wouldn't go along. And Christians wouldn't either. They wouldn't. You know, just believe in Caesar. Believe in your God. We'll all be good, you know. And so they asked Polycarp. They tried to do him. And he, no, I just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. All I'm doing is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So they take him to the governor. He said, this old man, so they try and talk him into it. And so the governor, and this is what's recorded historically, and he starts crying. Oh, this governor says, why are you crying? He says, you fear for your life. He says, no, I don't fear for my life. I just have this vision of you burning in hell, and it just hurts me to the heart. You know, it's like, oh. See, I mean, what world are these people walking in? See, what it is, God's got the world in control. He's moving this. Why is this person here? The Bible says because God put him there. But he's nasty. Nero was nasty. Caligula, John. Oh, God. I mean, none of those guys were nice. See, the point I'm making is it's the church. It is the church. And it's like, all right, God, you take care of the world, and I talk to my neighbor. You know, it's the church, and that's what God's saying. And he's going to gloriously move on behalf of the church. On behalf of the church. I was running, and this is, I think everybody should vote. Everybody should vote. But you know, Jesus never ran for political office. Jesus never ran for political office. He never wrote a book. He didn't. You know, and yet his ministry is just, I mean, worldwide. See, there's an element, I only do what the Father tells me. There's a supernatural power with it, and then he passed that on. Passed it on. It's just a process that God's going to gloriously intervene on behalf of the church. Now, I understand that he gloriously individual, and it's an individual relationship, Christ in us. But there's an entity of the church that we need to be a part of. So a powerful thing. Now, here's this verse, and Haggai 21-23 says, on that day, declares the Lord, I will take you, my servant, declares the Lord, and make you like a signet ring. For I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. That's a neat verse, isn't it? Now, you can see my little dots up there. I took out the name Zerubbabel. This is because it's kind of hard to say. Zerubbabel, all right? You have a little child, and you say, well, hey, honey, let's name him Zerubbabel. Okay. You know, your mother will love that. Okay, Zerubbabel. Anyway, so you got this guy's name, Zerubbabel. Now, it's interesting. He is in, when you look at Matthew, he is in the lineage of Christ. Okay, so he's like a great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of Christ, you know, on his physical side. So he's in the lineage of Christ. And this prophecy certainly is fulfilled in the person of Christ. There's no question when you look at this verse here, it's fulfilled in the person of Christ. So it's an Old Testament picture of Christ that's fulfilled in Matthew. So we're with that. And he says, on that day, my servant, declares the Lord, declares the Lord, says, I will take you, my servant, and make you like a signet ring. And again, that's a big deal. Signet ring. You wore a ring and had an impression on it, and you put that impression on anything you wrote, anything you had, and it had the authority. It had the authority of whatever position you held, that signet ring. You see that all through the scriptures. And he says, I have chosen you. So he's chosen Jesus. He has like a signet ring. So you have that picture, and it's, wow, that is cool when you have that whole view there. But I'm going to tell you something. What did we learn in January? But in present, we're fellow heirs with Christ. We're fellow heirs. That means, in a prophetic way, in a New Testament way, that we reign with Christ. That means that signet ring that Jesus has, we have. This is us. This is us. We have the signet ring. And by the way, he's the chosen one. The Bible, the New Testament, full, we are the chosen one. I've chosen you. You are my signet ring. So he ends this whole section right here on that day. Now, on that day when the Lord comes back, well, that's going to happen. We're going to be gloriously before the Lord. Done. But we're gloriously before the Lord now in the process of carrying out what Jesus says. With the authority, we have the signet ring of Christ. We have the anointing of Christ. We have the impression of Christ. And that a lot of those had those signet rings with the impression of the ruler. So you put it, you had the impression of the ruler. Like put it on us. We have the impression of the ruler. We have the impression of Christ. So we have that signet ring. And so we're fellow heirs with Christ. We have that ring of authority now. Now, Wallace, I'm going to take care of the world. You do what I tell you. You have this signet ring. You're reigning with me. He's telling each one of you. You're reigning with me. You have the signet ring. By Christ's death on the cross, you have it. You're special. You are chosen from the foundations of the earth. I chose you for this time and place. You are here for the purpose to carry out the power of Christ now. Amen? Now just think about that. God's going to shake heaven and earth. We need to think about the whole journey, and he's gloriously going to intervene on behalf of the church. Connect to a church that loves the Lord Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through it. He said, I'm going to work through it. I'm going to release my power through it. So we'll have a summary. Here's a summary. Summary to walk away with. The church, this session, summary here. This is what God said. God will shake heaven and earth. I think we're going to see it. I think we have seen it. I think we're going to see it. And it's not like, oh my gosh, it's just falling. I don't know what I'm going to do. No, it's like, okay, it's happening. It's happening. Things in your life, things around you, and things, God is not happy with them going along the way they are, denying God. So he's going to move in that they're shaken. They're shaken. And what we have to say, okay, God, we're here. We have the message of Christ. We have the power of Christ. And so we look at it in a different perspective because God is doing it. He will shake heaven and earth. He's telling you. He's telling you right now. He's going to shake it. Know that. All right. Then our work for the Lord is not in vain. Our work for the Lord, what we do and input for the Lord is not in vain. It says it all through Scripture. Whatever else you're doing, the work for the Lord is not in vain. He's shaking heaven and earth, and our work for the Lord is not in vain. And our work in the church, to build the church, the local church, is not in vain. Because when he turns things upside down and people like need hope, I need hope. I think I'll go to the universal church. You know, that has a bad connotation. You know, no, I need hope. Well, I don't know where any hope is. But there's a local church that has hope. There's a local entity that has hope. See, and there's people in that church that have hope. That's the way God works. That's the way God works. Amen? And exciting to be part of the local church. Hallelujah. Should be excited about it. And God said, no, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. And it all goes from that. Love this. You know what verse I'm going to. I just love this verse. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He made him who knew no sin, the Lord Jesus, to be sin. Just think of all the junk you did. All the junk. He made him who knew no sin to be that sin. Boom. It's all on Jesus. He died for that sin. And that sin was passed to to him, and we're right here, and we're the righteousness of God. We're as right as God because he paid the penalties. Lord, I just believe on you. I am forgiven. You took my sin. I'm right before you. Oh, my God, thank you that I'm right before you because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. And he says, that's what I did for you. That's the message of the church. Now I've given you the power of the Holy Spirit to exhibit my presence here on earth. Amen. Amen. We have our prophetic team come. If y'all don't mind, Cynthia, you stand up. Cindy, stand up. And who else is Tracy? Tracy, stand up. In fact, we'll put you on. Go ahead and walk up in the corner. Go in your corner. Go walk in your corner. But I just want, they're on our prophetic team. They're on our prophetic team. And so the Lord has really gifted them prophetically. And, you know, if you're going through something, say, Lord, I just want to see the current situation change. I just want to hear a word that would impact the future. And just go up, have them pray with you and hear from the Lord and minister to you prophetically. But I just want to recognize them that that's a huge ministry that the Lord uses within our body, that people just seeking the Lord and say, God, I just want to help me connect with what you're doing. And it's just hear from them and to hear from the Lord through them. So I encourage you to go forward and just ask them to minister to you. And thank you for their service. But won't we just stand now and just thank the Lord in song? And again, we have so much to be thankful about. We have so much to be thankful for what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing in us. We have so much to be thankful for. I mean, you look at this. I'm shaking heaven and earth. Don't be afraid. That's the reason that first verse in chapter 2 starts off like that. It says, be strong. Don't be afraid. What? I'm shaking this. I'm intervening on your part, but I'm going to shake those things around. You know, that one psalm says, you know, 1,000 fell at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. You know, what he's saying, I'm working. I'm moving all around you, all right? You just stand there. You just stand there, and I'm speaking to you. I'm protecting you. You're there for a purpose. You're there for a purpose. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for that. We just want to lift you up in praise now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.